Good to have this guy back in our airwaves. We talked to him a couple of weeks ago when the season was just kind of rolling, getting started. Mr. Bob Jensen, Husker Land Prep Magazine, always good to have you back, Bob. Can you believe it? We're at week five already.
Hey, Rich, it's always good to be on you, the voice of reason in a time of trouble. It's week five, and now we're getting down now. It's district time, and that's great news for a lot of teams, especially the ones who have had really hard schedules early and maybe haven't won as much as they'd like, but they're still good teams, and they got a chance to make it all right once districts come around.
You know, I got to start with Class B first. You know, McCook, good way to bounce back at Crete. But that Crete Cardinals team, Coach, we were talking about during our broadcast, they've got a couple of the former players back in the day, the Colton Mox, the Cole Wiseman, I think, has moved back and is coaching there. And Coach Luttrell, I think talking to Coach Petrosky, feels they're going to get Crete back on track there. But, boy, the old Cardinals, it's been out of the playoffs for a while. We hope they kind of get back to what Crete football was like in the past.
Well, that's just it. You know, McCook's got a pretty magical schedule this year, and that's one of them. I mean, anybody who's followed the game for very long remembers all the greatness at Crete. I was talking with Coach Mock back at the start of the season, and he said he felt he had kids that wanted to commit to playing football. And Crete's like everybody else. They wish they had more guys out. But they've got guys that are committed. When I talked to Colton, and he would know, he was a pretty great player. Mm-hmm. There's some talent coming up, and I don't know. It's turned out to be just a tough nut to crack. But I got to say that anytime I see a score come across, I don't care who's winning, and it says McCook played Crete. I don't know. I just have all sorts of great memories, and so I'm like most football fans. I hope Crete football gets back on its feet, but McCook needed something like that, things are going to be fine.
I tell you, those teams at the top, the four undefeated, or three undefeated teams, I should say, with Elkhorn, North, Norris, and Waverly, have kind of separated themselves, I think, from everybody else, haven't they?
By a ways, yeah. If that's not the Final Four, that will be quite an upset in its own. But I don't know. I can't get Norris out of my head. Nobody, because they did it. Scott doesn't get beaten, and they were beaten that night, 49-3. And anybody who follows the high school athletic landscape in our state knows that Norris has got a lot of pent-up frustration when it comes to dealing with Scott. They've been really good at a lot of things and have not been able to beat them. And the score was nice, but honestly, just winning did Norris so much good, and they haven't taken their foot off the gas. You guys got a real good look at Waverly. It's like we were talking before we started. I'm a big Reed Manstead fan. He's a good man. He's the coach at Waverly. I'd be all in if they win it. Bennington's coached by a former Central City Bison. Went to school with my daughter, Jess, as a matter of fact, Cameron Lenhart. And then Elkhorn North, people just expected it. And so it seems like there's no real buzz around it, but they're the number one team. So that's a pretty good, top four right there.
You know, speaking of Central City, that C1 bracket, that C1 top 10 with some great teams, that Central City, speaking of another Bison team, boy, they're for real this year again, aren't they?
Oh, they are. And I think the one thing that the rest of C1 didn't need particularly was for Central City to be playing this kind of defense. As long as Troy Hubert's been there, he has manufactured some quarterbacks in his time there. And that's not a knock on some of these kids, but I saw it firsthand. He took athletes and made him a quarterback in that system. And, at its worst, Central City's passing game is thrown for 1,200 or 1,300 yards a year while Troy's been there. But now you got the Zichman kid who is breaking all sorts of school records. You got a superstar wide receiver in Wyatt Dent. The offense is fine. It's great to see Corbin Kyes back. If you watched the final last year, he suffered a catastrophic knee injury, but he is back. And now the defense is pitching shutouts and allowing 7 points. And They're not going to get beat in the regular season. And they sure look like if they're not number one, they're 1A. I don't know. It's Wahoo till it's not Wahoo. But Central, it would be very, very surprising if Central State is not back in the final.
You know, Coach Catlin Rice out of Cambridge was, we were texting the other day, Bob, that I think it's been a while since up and down 6-34 here in Southwest Nebraska. You got a number of undefeated teams. You got Dundee County Stratton undefeated. You got Hitchcock undefeated. You got Cambridge undefeated. Southwest undefeated in six-man play. I know the Bison suffered that first loss against Waverly 2 weeks ago, but otherwise, those eight-man teams and six-man Southwest, hey, we got pretty good thing going here up and down the highway.
Yeah, we do. And, of course, I know people down that way treasure their football at least as much, if not more, than anywhere else in our football crazy state. So I'm happy for all those teams. You know, Dundee's just doing what Dundee does. As far as Hitchcock goes, they're big, strong, physical team. They're kind of built for tough games, it seems to me. Old Jack Baker's been the team's quarterback since the Hoover administration, I believe. And then, Cambridge, frankly, I kind of thought some of this might happen at Cambridge last year. Just a little, maybe a year behind, I guess. But, losing Micah Gerlach at quarterback, now granted, he got to play some, but it was a different team. And it doesn't matter who plays quarterback. And the Norton kid did really, really well as a freshman in his absence. But you're still taking one of your best players off the field. And so he's back. I've been around that bunch of kids. They kind of look to him. And they've got good athletes. I mean, I don't know. I'm like anybody who loves football history. Cambridge is a special case, and those people have seen a lot over the years. And it is great to see them playing at this high a level. And as far as Southwest goes, yeah, Southwest undefeated, and that little triangular thing you've got there with Southwest, Wallace and Juanita Palisade. That's going to be fun to keep track of the next few weeks.
Yep, all teams are 3-0 going into matchups this week, and they'll play each other over the next couple of weeks. So no question, that's going to be fun to watch here in the next couple of weeks.
Absolutely.
You bet. Hey, Bob, lots been talked about different districts and boy, with the situation in Class A going on and Millard South and the situation they're going through, DJ Gross is from McCook as an assistant coach. We talked to DJ a couple of weeks ago, and they're just rolling through people in Class A, but a lot of things going on, teams in different districts, competitiveness and not having blowouts. I'm sure you've been following that as well, haven't you?
Well, yeah, and first of all, I saw DJ. It was kind of cool. I was at a practice this summer. I haven't seen Miller South play yet. I will. But, he's out there with Utter and Nolan Durban from Strasburg. Those kids are all Huskerland kids from back in the day. So that's kind of what had my attention that day. But, I mean, the Miller South's not going to get beat, and it's not going to be close. This is going to be an awful lot like what Westside was 2 years ago. But, I don't see how you could possibly say this isn't the greatest team of all time at this point. You still have to win. You still have to win the championship. But, I don't know. They're just a lot better. They got more of everything, and, that's just how it is. I did really like the compromise they came up with in the playoffs in Class A. No districts, taking 16, trying to level the playing field a little bit for the have-nots, because the haves can always take care of themselves. Because it comes back to the same thing. I think about it all the time. I wrote about it 2 weeks ago. There were 20 shutouts that were 41-0 or worse. And I can't remember the stats now, but there was 3/4 of those were 60-0 or worse. And, these kids are human beings. Okay, it isn't just a number on a piece of paper. I mean, these kids go through all that work all week long, do the best they can, and that's what they have to show for it. And some of that is unavoidable. Some of it is unavoidable. I'm not that big a Pollyanna to know that routes aren't going to happen regardless. But I just think about I don't know. I'd be really proud of my kid if he was sticking it out, knowing what was coming week after week, and still playing. But what those kids are doing, they are playing football. It isn't a football factory setting. It isn't, everybody plays for something. Everybody plays for something, but these kids are playing for the joy of the game. There can be no other explanation. You get in some places, and there is no pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, but you get to play 8-9 games, and, it's a game that you obviously love or you wouldn't put in all the work. By and large, we just do the best we can. We've got this three classes of 8-man looking us in the face next year, because this is an 8-man state. We've got more 8-man teams, 8-man, 6-man than we do 11-man. And, that's going to work out. That's going to work out. That's going to bring some more teams into a competitive setting. It's hard to watch sometimes. So we'll see where we go. Like I said, though, I'm really proud of kids that to see it through, because it'd be real easy to find something else to do.
Any particular games of interest Thursday, Friday you're going to hit and try to watch?
Well, actually, Thursday, I'm living in Gretna. It's changed my sphere a little bit, mm-hmm. but I'm going to go Johnson Brock and Elmwood Murdoch. Elmwood Murdoch, who is in D2 this year, it's just a weird set of circumstances. They missed the D1 number by just a couple of kids. They're going to be C2 maybe the next cycle, but certainly the next cycle. Well, anyway, they're in D2. They play Johnson Brock. Their only loss is to Sandy Creek. That should be good. And then, I don't know. I tell you what, Lawrence Nelson. Lawrence Nelson, I've been fascinated by. I think maybe I've mentioned this before. It's the most talked about team, 8-man team, over the summer, primarily because of their quarterback, Wyatt Fry. And if you're following along, then you know that he's already got one division offer. He's had game day visit to Lincoln, 6'5", 215, playing quarterback in 8-man football. You kind of need to see it for yourself. They play at Thayer Central, and they're in Hebron, and I want to see that. And then, they play at Deschler, who is undefeated. That is one of the really nice stories of the year. And then follow that with over at Hebron and Sandy Creek. And it's weird. Sandy Creek's the defending state champion. They're 3-1, and it's kind of like they've just kind of gone into the mist. But they are still very good, and Thayer is undefeated. Should be a great night in Hebron.
Bob, it is always good to hear from you each and every time we talk, sir. Keep up the good work. Week 5, before you know it, we're going to be talking about those playoff brackets and pairings, and that's going to be coming up before you know it.
Right on. All right, people, get out and watch your local team play football. The kids deserve your support, and I hope to see you at a game.